I believe that one of the shortcomings that we have as Americans are recognizing our blessings. And all you have to do, of course, is watch TV, read the news, and look at the state of affairs in other countries, the pestilence, the famine, the oppression that is taking place, and then look at what is afforded us in these United States. And when we get to the point to where we don't recognize blessings, there's a fallout from that. One of the fallouts, of course, is that there's no thankfulness. And because there is no thankfulness, another fallout from that then is what is plaguing our society today, and that's entitlement. That we just are entitled to everything that we have, and it's not a blessing whatsoever. There's no thanks for it. It's what we should have. It's what we, and here's the key word that you see on TV, we deserve it. It's so interesting to look at what the psalmist says in those readings that we had, and we're going to use that as a backdrop, actually not even just a backdrop, but as the content of the lesson this morning. So that when we are through with this, hopefully we will say what we have are counted blessings. Not just recognized, but rather that we number them, that they are counted, that we know that that is a blessing that comes from God, and it's not anything that is deserved, but rather it is that by the grace of God that we receive. When we look back, first of all, in James 1st chapter and verse 17, James 1 and verse 17, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we understand that good is from God, and what we have that is good is from God. And that is a blessing. And it is that which is not only perfect, but it is morally excellent. Every good and perfect gift, it is morally excellent. That's what comes from God. Without that, we would be morally bankrupt, except for the blessing that comes from the Lord and the goodness that we receive from Him. When we look in the 68th Psalm, Psalm 68, excuse me, Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20, the psalm says there, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. And we can certainly understand why David would pen that and why he would say such things, especially after, for almost 40 years, running from Saul, as Saul would not give up the throne even though it was God's will, and sought to take his life continually. But what we get from this also is a spiritual application for us today. And that God daily bears our burden. And what is meant by that, whenever I look at this, who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation, that day in and day out we have that promise from Him. That we can know our condition before Him. I've asked Christians before in studies, are you saved? And I've had the reply of some, well, I hope that I am. Well, we can know that we are. And we see that when we look in 1 John 5th chapter and verse 13. And John says there, I write these things to you that you may know the Son of God, and that you may believe in Him, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in Him. We can know our condition before God, and I'll tell you that, looking at what John writes there in 1 John 5 and verse 13, that is a blessing. That we can know our condition before God and not guess about it, not wonder about it, and not wait until it's too late to make any sort of reparation to the situation that we are in if it is needed. But rather, what we know from God and from His Word is exactly where we stand with Him. We don't get what we deserve. Going a little bit further in the reading that Al had for us in the 103rd Psalm, this time as we look in verses 10 through 11. The psalmist says there, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. If that would be the case, we would not be here. we'd not be on the top side of this earth. Matter of fact, this existence wouldn't exist. It would not be a physical existence based upon what we deserve. And so many times God had the right and always has that right to end all things. But he didn't do that. And in verse 11 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him." We remember that in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 8 and 9, that the Lord had told Isaiah there to write the words, "For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And here the psalmist takes a very similar wording in that, but applies it now to the mercy that God has shown toward us. And you think about that in today's world. When someone is wrong, well, then there is that automatic knee-jerk reaction, especially for those that are carnal, to react with vengeance, to avenge that which has taken place. You will pay for what wrong I have received from you. You know, God has been wrong from the beginning. And he has received accusation. He's received denial. He has been called a liar. And his word has been called a lie. And there are those that say that he does not exist. And when we look at that, we understand then that because we are still here upon this earth, there is mercy from God. I don't know, and no one does, when the end of time is going to be. I know whenever I look in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter and verse 10, it starts out by saying, "The Lord shall come as a thief in the night." And that gives us the indication that no man knows when the end of time is. I don't know if it's going to be like it was back in Genesis the 6th chapter. It may get to that point, I don't know. In Genesis the 6th chapter, of all the millions of people that were living on the face of the earth, there were only 8 souls that believed in God and was trying to do his will. Everyone else on the face of the earth was a denier of the Lord, rejecting his word, rejecting his instruction that he gave through his word, rejecting him, setting up for themselves, I think as we go earlier in the chapter there, in Genesis the 6th chapter, men to follow, men of renown, and God was forgotten. And God knew that they would not come to repentance, and I will say that unequivocally, because he then sent destruction upon the earth and only 8 souls were saved. I don't know if that is the case for the end. I don't know if that will be the same thing or not. That is the Lord's determination, of course. We don't know when it is going to be. But we know this, that while we are alive, there is mercy from God. We recognize that. In Lamentation, the 3rd chapter, verses 22 and 23. Excuse me. Jeremiah says there, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And he's speaking there concerning God. And we see then that that is the attitude that is expressed by Jeremiah here, and should be our attitude in connection especially with recognizing that blessing, that we're not consumed from the face of the earth because of the great mercy of God. As a matter of fact, he's even done more than that, more than just not destroying us from the face of the earth. He has set up way to protect us. And we see that in 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter and verse 13. And Paul says there, "No temptation has taken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may bear it." Not only is he not wiping us off the face of the earth, not only is he ending humanity, which as far as justice and right is concerned, he could do, and no one would blame him, at least not those that are righteous. But he makes a way of escape even when there is temptation that is put before us. When we look at the reading that we had this morning, in the 103rd Psalm, and beginning in verse 2, it says, "Forget not his benefits. O my soul, forget not his benefits." And the word benefits and blessing are kindred words in the Hebrew. And they pretty well mean the very same thing. Benefits The only difference there is that it is that which is recognized, not just which is promised, but that which is recognized. And so we'll use it as blessings because there are blessings that we certainly recognize or should recognize that comes from the Lord. And we're going to see and we're going to use Psalm 103 verses 2 through 8, actually verses 3 through 8, in looking at blessing our Lord and forgetting not His benefits. And then we're going to use Psalm 105 verses 1 through 5 in the response that we are to have. I know that these weren't written together, nor even back to back, and there is another chapter in between, but as I looked at this, I said, this fits so perfectly. The benefits, the blessings that come from God, and then in the 105th chapter, our response to those blessings, to those benefits that we have. So first of all, the benefit that is mentioned when we look there, beginning in verse 3, the first part of verse 3, when we look at it, we understand that who pardons us? God who gives us pardon. And really what we've looked at so far in some of the verses that we read this morning, that is the extent really of the pardon that we receive. But he says here, who pardons all of your iniquities. And especially when we think about our time today through Christ Jesus, when we go back to Hebrews 8 chapter and verse 12. A few verses prior to that, it was a requote from Leviticus where God had told Moses, I will make a new covenant with you, not like the one that I made with your father Abraham, not like the one that you received from Moses, but a new covenant you're going to have. And when he gets to the end of that thought, he says, in connection with that new covenant, and your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. It's a companion scripture with Hebrews 10 and verse 16. They both say the same thing. Do we recognize that blessing that comes from the Lord? And it works for those that are not children of God because it is a promise, it is a blessing that is there. But it also works for us and should be recognized by us that are Christians that we have received then the end of that blessing, that promise that was made. And it's a benefit to us then that the Lord has pardoned all of our iniquities. Else we would be found in opposition to God. Well, what is the response then that we find in Psalm 105? We looked into verse 1, the first part of verse 1. Here's what we are to do. He says, since there has been pardon, has been given by God, give thanks. Give thanks. Recognize then that it is not something that we deserve, but rather something that is given to us by God. Give thanks to the Lord. There's the response. And for us that are Christians, are we doing that? Do we give thanks to the Lord? And so, well, you know, I pray. I pray and I come on Sunday morning and I worship and I do that. I'm giving thanks to the Lord. What about day in and day out? What about the way that we conduct our lives? What about the way that we present ourselves out in the world? Are we showing that we are really giving thanks for the pardon that we have received from the Lord? That blessing that is there, that benefit that we have as children of God. For those that are not Christians, will you recognize that benefit, that blessing that has been given unto you, has not been withdrawn, and the reason that you know that is that you're still alive. You're here, there's still time, there's still chance. And so here we have in these two verses, these two passages, the benefit and the response. Let's go to Psalm 103 and the second part of verse 3. Says, who heals all of your diseases. Who heals all of your diseases. And I would imagine there's not anyone here that have not lost family members to some sort of disease. Cancer probably has been involved in the majority of everyone's family that is present here. And so is that what the psalmist is talking about? Who heals all of your diseases. The potential is there for God to heal all who He will heal or whom He wishes to heal. And again, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And those that He heals, those that receive relief from diseases, of course, that's His determination. We understand that. But there's something that goes along with that, and that is the response in connection with the power that God has to heal, and certainly physically, but also spiritually. And we see that in verse 1 of Psalm 105. And because of that, then, we call on His name. We call on His name. And when we think about that, that means that we look to Him and we recognize Him as being authoritative and having the power to do all things. But we also, in calling upon His name, we say, Lord, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. That is a term that you'll hear one of our brothers, Brother Wayman, use in his prayers when he prays. And it's a very proper term. Thy will be done. Because nothing's going to be done without the power of God, without His determination. We understand that. And when we look at this from the standpoint of that which is spiritual, He heals all of our diseases. He heals all that afflicts us spiritually here upon this earth. And that is through God's Word, but only if we call upon His name. Only if we look to His Word, the way that we are directed and instructed from Him. And that's the only time then that we receive healing. Because if we look for it from other sources, from our own mind, from our own determination, there is no healing in that. It's a facade. It's just a facade. Go down now to verse 4 of Psalm 103. And the very first part of that, who redeems your life. He is the Redeemer and He has sent the Redeemer to us. Who redeems your life. And when we think about that, as He says in the rest part of that statement there, He redeems your life from destruction. That would be the case for each and every one of us. When we talk about that which is deserved, that would be the end result of what is deserved. And that is destruction. But here we forget none of His benefits, as we are told, verse 2 of Psalm 103, in that He redeems our life from destruction. You know, so many thoughts are out there as, why was man created? And people will turn over, of course, to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 try to answer that question. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. That doesn't answer that question. That answers the question of what we are to do since we are here. Why did God create man? And I think it goes back when we look in John the 4th chapter, 1 John the 4th chapter, when we look at the description that is given concerning God, I think we find the answer that God is love. And God had so many blessings and such riches to give. And He's such a loving God. And since He is God, that is the reason that He created man. That is the reason that He gave His Son. That is the reason that He raised Him up from the dead. That is the reason that that Savior is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, because of the love of God. And I think that's what answers the question why God made us. Love. He wanted to share with us what He has. That's the reason for these benefits and blessings that we receive. And then when we look at the response to the thought of why it is that He redeems us from, or how it is that He redeems us from destruction, we look at the last part of verse 1 of Psalm 105. When we think about it, what we are to do since we are redeemed, we then are to make known His will. And we don't keep it to ourselves. Think about what we have received from the Lord. He's redeemed us. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Make His deeds known among the people. I wish we had sung that song also, Wayman. It's in our books, isn't it? I wish we had sung that. But that's what we are to do. That's the response from being redeemed. We make known God's will to others. Do you realize, we tell others, there's a way of salvation that is out. Do you realize that Christ Jesus gave His life? Do you realize the love of God? Do you realize, do you recognize that great blessing that has been given? And that has been given to all that are sentient. And that will ever stand as long as time is in existence. It is a grace to all. Not everyone will receive mercy. Only those that are obedient. But we make known His deeds to those that are lost and those that are failing in their lives as children of God. We are to do. That's the response that we have from our lives being redeemed from corruption. Then we see when we go back to Psalm 103 And now we look at the second part of verse 2, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. We are crowned. That word, when you think about it, it's saying you're made royal. You're made royal. And that fits with what Peter says in 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, verse 9, that we have been made a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people separated unto God. And we see that is how we are accounted by this love that comes from God and the great blessing that you are crowned, he says, with loving kindness and compassion. And oh, what a crown to wear. It's not one of such responsibility that we cannot attain unto its expectations, but it is that blessing, that benefit that comes from God that crowns us, makes us royalty in his sight, undeserved, but because of the benefit and blessing that comes from the God. Well, what is our response? Well, let's go to Psalm 105 and verse 2, the second part. Sing to him. Sing praises. This is what my God has done for me. Without him, I would be nothing. There's another song we could sing, isn't it, Wayman? So many songs we could have picked out in connection. Without him, I would be nothing. But because I have been made royalty in his sight, I will then glorify my God and sing praises to those that are round about me. That is not only by word of mouth, but rather also by action. That people will see the way that we live our lives, that we are separate from the world. There's something different about us that causes many to take note and even ask, what do you believe? Tell me, there's something different about you. And I've seen that with Christians before that's asked, there's something different about you. You're not like everyone else. And I'll tell you, it's part of our barometer as children of God. If we can't be recognized being different by the world, well, then that means we look just like the world. But what we have here, we have being crowned, and so because of that, we sing the praises of God. Thank you for exalting me to a place where I do not deserve. Thank you. I will sing praises to you. And then we see in verse 5 of Psalm 103, it says, who satisfies you to the full with good as long as you live. And satisfies you with good. I want to point this out for our more experienced members. In other words, the older group of us. That what is being stated here is the fact that as long as we are delving in God's Word and as long as we recognize our blessings, as long as we recognize our benefits, there is work for us to do and there is satisfaction that comes by the experience that the older folks have in doing the Lord's will and teaching the Lord's will, because it says, as long as you live. In other words, there's not a time to hang it up. Well, I've done that in the past, and now I'm just passing the torch, and somebody else, no, as long as we live, we are to be workers for the Lord. We're to be workers for the Lord. And so then he says in Psalm 105 and verse 2, the second part, because of this, you speak all of his wonders. You tell others all of his wonders. And you let people know what has been done in your life. You know, there were times in which I would wanted to give up, but I looked to my God and I didn't give up. There were times when there were others that were teaching, but I recognized my responsibility in teaching. There are times whenever people will talk to me about things that are religious, things of the Bible, and I will still continue to do that. I will speak his wonders to all that will listen. As long as I live. I like to liken the Christian to the cedars of Lebanon. In that, that's a very unique tree. The cedar of Lebanon grows in stature, height, and width. In stature, height, and width. As long as it is alive. And the instant that it is not growing, it is dead. And the same thing is true with the Christian. I think that's really what is being spoken of here by this benefit that we receive from the Lord, that we are satisfied for good as long as we live. And so because of that, then we will speak all of the wonders of the Lord. We'll let people know the blessings that we have received because we recognize that we are thankful. And then when we look in verse 6 of Psalm, the 103rd chapter, he says, "The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed." And we'll just use the term righteous there in connection with God. And that He performs that which He promises. And He is righteous before all that seek Him, and that He will do what He has promised to all that will come to Him. And we look at the response then that are given, is given to that particular thought when we look in Psalm 105, this time in verse 3, the first part of verse 3, glory in His holy name. I wonder, as children of God, how good we are at really glorying God in His name. You know, we talked this morning in class about that preacher at a gospel meeting where I was at. Didn't take the credit for what he was preaching, because no man can unless they're preaching something other than what the gospel says. The credit goes to God. The material is perfect. Man is not. But the material is perfect. And are we doing that when we think about it? Do we recognize His righteousness, and though so because of that, then we glory in His name? I would be nothing. I would be a worm if it were not for my God. There was a song, and I can't remember the name of it right now, "Such a Worm as I." That was the first rendition of it. Well, then we had some brethren that thought that that wasn't a good terminology, so they changed it later on to "Such a One as I." Take it back to where it really belongs. "Such a worm as I, except it be for our God." And so do we give glory to His name. Come on down then as we look. Now to verse 7, the first part of verse 7 of Psalm 103. "He has made known His ways." Made known His ways. I'm starting to run out of room. Made known His ways. And when we think about that, do we recognize that as a blessing? That God's ways are made known to us through the Word. Do we recognize that as a benefit? Well, we should, when we put it in opposition to what John says in 1 John the 2nd chapter and verse 16, "For all that is in the world, lest the eyes, lest the flesh, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." In opposition to that, in making known all His ways, He tells us what is exactly the opposite of that. "Because of the world produces death, because of the truth produces life and freedom." And so He says here, "He made known His ways." Here's the response that we should have to that as we look in Psalm 105 and verse 3, the second part of verse 3. "Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad." And so we ask the question, are we truly seekers of the Lord? Here's the benefit that we have. His way has been made known, and so therefore do we seek the Lord. That's not going to come to us by osmosis, but rather by what Paul tells Timothy to do: study, or be diligent, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, handling with precision the word of truth. There's the response to God making known His ways. And then the second part of that, as we look, "and His acts," that is in Psalm 103, second part of verse 7, "and His acts to the sons of Israel." Wherever you think about that, that not only are His ways known, but His acts have been shown forth, the acts of God. And it's recorded for us in that His Son came to this earth, gave up heaven, gave up the glory of heaven, came to this earth in a very humble way, and not in pomp and circumstance, but came to us, showed us how this life should be lived, died for us, was buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Those are the acts of God that have been shown to us. Do we recognize that as a blessing, as a benefit to us? Well, here's the response. Seek the Lord and His strength. Because in those acts, we find out how we can have strength in God. Because He has made those promises that had taken place prior to all of His acts, and they all came true, there is strength in God. We have that confidence that we can live the life as children of God and be blessed for it. Not only in the life to come, but also in the life that we live now upon this earth. I think sometimes we forget about that. We We are to have our minds toward looking toward heaven, that being our goal and so forth. But Christians are to be better people here upon this earth, and they are better people if they follow God's will. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. Matter of fact, that's another barometer that Paul talked about to Timothy. All who will be a Christian will suffer persecution. But at the same point, there is that blessing that is there, but it will not take away any of the blessings that you have neither upon this earth. He's not taking away prayer. He's not taking away His relationship from us. And neither upon will He take it away from that which is in heaven eternal, taking away life everlasting that we all hope in. And so we see the response that is there. Let's go on down a little bit more. And he says in Psalm 103 and verse 8, the first part of verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. I'll tell you what, in a dog-eat-dog world, when we think about this world being without compassion, God has compassion. God has compassion. Mistakes are made by us. God has compassion because He's given us a way back to Him, a way of correction. And that, of course, is through His Word with a penitent attitude, the attitude that we have that is taught by God. And so He is compassionate and gracious. And the response to that that we find in Psalm 105, and we look in the second part of verse 4, is seek His face continually. We seek Him. Lord, I need You because I recognize I'm weak. I need You to strengthen me. I need You to forgive me when I fail. I need You to be with me so that I can make the stand. And so do we do that? Here is that great blessing. He is compassionate and gracious. Are we seeking His face continually? Or, I've got this the rest of the way, Lord. After my baptism, I was good to go. Don't need You anymore. No. We need Him day in and day out. Then we see in Psalm 103 and verse 8, the second part of verse 8, the blessing in that He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Slow in anger. And you think about that, and that is certainly a great blessing from God. Because if He wasn't slow to anger, I don't think any of us would be on the top side of God's green earth. None of us would be here. Here's the response that we have from Psalm 105 and verse 5. Remember His wonders, His marvels, and the judgments uttered by His mouth. In other words, we'll just put the word remember. Do we really remember? And remember here is not like I think we often think about, you know, we start to do something, we're headed in a direction, say, oh yeah, I need to think about this. I remember this. But it be continually before our mind, and that's what the word remember means. It is continually with us. So that because of His being slow to anger, we remember then, we remember His wonders, His marvels, His judgments uttered by His mouth. And what we hope to hear at the end of time in that will be, enter into my rest, thou good and faithful servant. And we can confidently hope in that if we are children of God. You know, all that is needed is from God. When we look in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 19, Paul says there, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There's not a need, and need is not want, but need is that which is really needed in one life. It is imperative that we have. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Not just our wants and desires, but actual needs that take place. And I'll tell you what, when we recognize that, we will have thankfulness. We will then be able to have counted blessings that we can count down and say, that has been a blessing for me before God. That has been that. And so I ask you this morning, what is your response to the Lord? What is your response to Him? Ephesians 5 and verse 20, Paul says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. There's the response. Our response is that we give thanks to Him. Lord, I have been given life. I recognize because of Your love, that is the reason that I'm here upon this earth. I recognize that. And now I recognize what I am to do, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Fear God, keep Your commandments, for this is my whole duty This is what I am to do. Is that your response? Or is it, no, I'm not thankful for any of this. What has God done for me? If you're breathing, God has been working in you. And He's done that for you. He has allowed you life. And so I ask you this morning, do you recognize your benefits? If you're not a child of God, do you recognize the blessing of promise that He's been given you, that through faith you can become a child of God if you have that penitent attitude where you recognize that you must have that attitude that says, I'll no longer serve self, but I will serve my God for the remainder of my life. Will you name His name? Just as that Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts 8, chapter and verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, making that commitment to Him that you will live for Him for the rest of your life. Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Not as a ceremony, not saying, I'm going to wait until all the family gets together, or even as one man told us one time during a drought, well, the next time that the tank is filled, well, then I'll be baptized. And tank is not talking about a metal tank, but talking about a pond, for you that don't know what a tank is. That wasn't true conviction. That wasn't wanting to do the Lord's will. That was making an excuse to try to put things off because of the pressure that he was receiving. Well, don't feel pressure. Don't feel pressure, because you will live. I can promise you this. You will live to the age of 98 years old. You're okay. Don't worry about it. Can any man say that? No. There's pressure, but it's not from man. It's from God. And not only from God, but also from time. There's pressure in your situation. Will you recognize that blessing? And here's another blessing. If you're looking for a congregation and not a member of a congregation, God has blessed you in making congregations and ordained them the way that they should be organized. And this congregation is ordained the way that God wants it organized. There are shepherds that direct us. There are deacons that of course serve us. And it is organized the way that God would have, and what it is all there for our blessing, for our benefit. Because God doesn't want there to be vagabond or itinerant children of God. We're going to be located with a local work. Do you recognize your benefits? As a child of God, do you recognize your blessings if you're not a child of God? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.